Hey everyone, we just wanted to remind you that this is a student-run and operated podcast. The opinions expressed are our own and not the views of the Dwight Englewood School. Hey everyone, welcome back to this week's episode of the Bulldog Podcast. We hope you're all doing well. This week, we're joined by Sasha Ree and Sophia Bella to discuss Lunar New Year. Welcome. Can you both start by please introducing yourselves?
Hi. I'm Sasha Ree, and I'm a sophomore at Dwight.
And I'm Sophia Bella Huipasigan, and I'm also a sophomore at Dwight. I'm Cuban, Chinese, and Filipino.
And I'm a Korean-American.
Okay, so how can you please explain what Lunar New Year is, what it stands for, and what it means to you and your families?
So Lunar New Year, so a lot of the Asian countries do follow, while they follow the traditional calendar that, you know, people in the States follow, the 365 days, 12 months, they also follow the lunar calendar, which is based on the cycles of the moon. So Lunar New Year, the date changes a little bit every year because of lunar calendar, but it's just the first year of that specific calendar. And you know, for my family, and I know for a lot of families out there, it's just a really, it's a time to kind of reflect on the past year, but also start with a clean slate for the new year and just spend a lot of time with family.
Yeah, just echoing off of Sasha, Lunar New Year, it always falls around this time and isn't super certain, but I know personally with my family, for me, it kind of represents a more superstitious version of the American New Year's. Like, we always do 10 times like the amount of stuff we would do in preparation for Lunar New Year rather than on January 1st. And also, a lot of the stuff we do, it like represents just family and a time for all of us to come together and take a break when it's after the new year and kind of after the rush of everything.
Thank you both for elaborating on that. So you talked a little bit about this, but can you please both share how you celebrate Lunar New Year and also how does it differ from family to family depending on where in Asia you come from?
Yeah, so for me, so I'm Korean, and there's a couple customs. One is the main one that most Koreans do. It's called Sebe, which is, well, in Korean, Lunar New Year is called Solla, and so Sebe is the custom where, for example, so whenever I do it, I bow down, my brother and I, we bow down in the traditional Korean bow to my grandparents, and then we say this phrase called Sehe Bok Mani Padaseo, which basically roughly translates to like, please receive a lot of luck in the new, please receive a lot of luck in the new year. And Sehe is basically showing respect to your elders, and in return, my grandparents will tell us their wishes for us in the new year, you know, do well in school, stay healthy, treat your parents well, things like that. And then they also give us a little bit of money as well as kind of like a new year's gift, and also just, you know, do well in the new year. And then another custom is, you know, food's a really big thing for Lunar New Year, especially for Koreans, and I know for other Asian countries. And my family, we go to my great aunt's house, my komohaemuni, and we eat tteokguk, which is a traditional like Seollal food. It's Korean rice cake soup, and that's also considered like a traditional Korean New Year food.
And then personally for me, it is a little different because, like I said, I'm Chinese, Cuban, and Filipino, so and Filipinos don't really celebrate Lunar New Year, but because my abuela is Chinese-Cuban, we kind of celebrate it differently from all of Asia. So generally, we would go to her apartment, and we all obviously greet her, and she gives us automatically these red envelopes, which are in Mandarin called hongbao, and inside, there's like the crispest dollar bill you could ever find, either ranging from like 10 to like $100, but always skipping over any quantity of four, because the word for in Mandarin kind of sounds like death. So you skip like 4:40 or like 44, anything like that. And normally it's around like $20 or depending about your family. And we kind of have this like joke where in Mandarin, it's like Gong Xi Fa Kai, which is like Happy Lunar New Year. And then it's Wo De Hong Bao, which is like, where's my red envelope? Which kind of is like a joke where it's like, oh, give me the money now, like I'm here. But also it's just like a lighthearted joke because obviously this time isn't just about money. It's about spending time with your family and like starting the new year fresh and like getting rid of all the old quote unquote like spirits or like problems of the last year and starting afresh again.
Yeah, to echo off of that, so as you can see, like Sophia and I, like just between the two, like our two families, we celebrate a little bit differently based on where we're from. And I know that among most Asian countries that do celebrate Lunar New Year, I'd say one big difference is probably definitely the type of food that they eat. For example, like I just said, like Korean New Year, we eat tteokguk because like the rice cakes kind of symbolize like coins, things like that. But I know like that's a lot of things. Also Korean, like for example, in Korea, like we don't really do like the red envelopes. We do the money during like the bowing. And I know, for example, like the Tibetan Lunar New Year festival is called Losar, I'm pretty sure. So I definitely think that even though they all do follow like the Lunar New Year calendar, and that it is and the big message is to spend time with family and bring in the New Year together, I definitely think that just some of the differences are more cultural when it comes to food and the way they celebrate, whether it's customs that they follow or what they do with their family and things like that.
Also, again, to add on, all the food that everyone uses to celebrate is so, so, so delicious. And I highly recommend everyone try at least once.
Yes, completely agree.
Well, I'm really hungry right now, so you just made me more hungry. But can you guys talk about the significance of the color red during Lunar New Year?
I know, I believe it's different from culture to culture, but the significance of red is always just that it's a very lucky color. And a kind of joke we also have, and I think it's kind of a cultural thing, is that you wear like red clothing and like including like red undergarments. But that's also just very, very superstitious and not a lot of people take it to that far extent, but red is just a lucky color in Chinese culture. And I think it's also an unlucky color depending on where you're from, but I could also be mistaken on that.
Yeah, so can you talk about ways that non-Asian people can celebrate or acknowledge Lunar New Year, and also how this ties into some more of just hateful acts of, that Asian people receive just in society?
Yeah, I mean, I know now it's a little bit of a difficult time, especially in the news. There has been a visible increase in, you know, crimes and hateful acts against Asian Americans in the United States. For anyone that's, you know, willing to learn, first of all, like, I, like, applaud you for, like, for wanting to learn about other cultures. I think that that is so important, and it's a really essential part of America, because America is just made up of so many different cultures. Like, a lot of people like to call it a melting pot. For people that want to learn more about Lunar New Year, you know, just researching as much as you can. I definitely think, even if you want to see like videos of the customs, I know you can see videos of like the I think it's the dragon dance or lion dance I think that happens in China, and you can see a bunch of informational videos, you know, listen to podcasts like this, like, just, you know, you can even ask your friends about, like, I've had friends ask me about it when they hear about it in the news, like Lunar New Year. And I definitely think that, especially the timing now with Lunar New Year and just what's going on in America with Asian Americans, it's really important to remember that, you know, Asian Americans are American too, but they also have this like wonderful culture. And I think that this timing is just that it's really important to, you know, stand by our fellow Asian Americans and just, you know, let them know that, like, you know, people are there to support them. At the same time, like, we hope that their culture matters too, and that it's really important to remember to, you know, it's really important to educate others about this culture and educate others about the different identities that do exist in America.
For sure. I completely agree with Sasha. I think that starting off this year, we did have the pandemic, and a lot of people did coin it as the China virus because the original outbreak was in Wuhan, China. And I think we've seen the effects of that with the Asian American community and just within Asia in general, where there's been a lot of anti, like, Asian jokes going around, or just like hateful hate crimes towards Asian Americans, like Sasha said, especially in the recent news. And I think the biggest way is just support, and always just trying to do your research or experimenting, but like going to see, as Sasha said, like the lion dance. Of course, not at this time, but watching videos, because the Asian culture is so rich and diverse, and it differs between country to country. Like as Sasha and I said, what I do and how I celebrate is completely different from how Sasha celebrates, and is probably completely different from how someone from Vietnam celebrates. And I think that knowing that and continuously like trying to support your friends and keeping up to date and trying to stay as educated as possible is the biggest way to help a lot of Asian Americans during this really hard time when it's supposed to be a really celebratory time.
I also want to quickly bring up, you know, there's a lot of great outlets out there to read about and just learn about Asian Americans. For example, like I write for an organization called Asian Youth for Civic Engagement, and Sophia and I are both a part of it. We run the Bergen County chapter. They have a great blog that has so many, you know, opinionated and non-opinionated, like hard facts news articles about current events, you know, and culture and identity struggles that Asian Americans go through. And I think that, I know there's also like Dear Asian Youth that has a bunch of infographics and a very large social media presence. I definitely think that those types of resources are definitely out there, and they're really easy to access. So for anyone that is willing to learn, those would also be a great place to start.
Well, thank you guys both for joining us today. We hope you all have all enjoyed this week's episode, and we'll see you next week. Have a happy and safe Lunar New Year.